Community Connections CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections CKMS.
Okay, hi folks. This is Community Connections here at CKMS Radio. It's Jeff Steger, one of the co-producers, and we just hope the holidays have been good to y'all. You're full of good Christmas. I've got a fridge full of chicken and ham and all that kind of stuff, and we're ready for the new year coming up. And today we're talking a little bit about one of our community groups. This is a group that are fighting this Bill 23 by the province and all the adjacent and accompanying changes in other provincial acts of the legislature. And so today is, our guests are Kevin Tomasson and Henrietta Thompson. And as you know, hey, music is our gig here, and guests have some great ideas. Let's play our first song, and I'll ask Kevin, who's the first song, and who is it your songs or is it Henriette's?
Yeah, this is Henriette's song to start with.
Okay.
And
Henriette, tell us about this song, why you like it.
Yeah, okay, so I like it because I the work I'm involved in around climate justice is really deeply tied to Indigenous justice. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking of Indigenous singers, and the first person that came to mind was Buffy St. Marie. And here's this amazing song that she sings with Tanya Tagak, and it talks about taking a stand. So I thought, wow, yeah, that's a great song to start with.
Impressive.
All right, go ahead, folks. Stay locked in. We're back.
Just because you think you can, all you got to In Ontario, we already have enough land for housing. What we don't have is enough greenbelt. The greenbelt's food, jobs, and clean water are counted on by millions of people. So why is it being given away to fewer than a dozen developers? Doug Ford and his developer friends don't need the greenbelt, but we do. Tell your MPP, hands off the greenbelt at saveourgreenbelt.ca. Brought to you by the Small Change Fund.
Okay, we are back, folks, and thanks so much for listening today. It is December 30th of 2022, and just a delighted day to have some representatives here from a group in town that are opposing Bill 23. But we want to get to know these guys first. But before I forget, by any chance, Henriette, have you seen Buffy St. Marie in concert? Are you a music goer?
Oh, yeah. I had a wonderful opportunity to go to a concert of hers at the Truth and Reconciliation event in Saskatchewan. Yeah.
How nice is that?
I think it was in the early 2011 or something like that. I can't remember the exact date, but it was really awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Good to know. We'll be asking all about these songs. I can hardly wait to hear what Kevin has to say about his selections. So, folks, we're going to get to know our guests, and one of the easiest way and funnest way is at this time of year, for instance, we're all sitting around a big family feast and having chicken and ham and all kinds of stuff, turkey and the like. Henry, I'll ask you first. How many people sit around the Thompson family Christmas feast?
Okay, well, this is a double answer. It was supposed to be 17, and due to weather and illness, it was two of us.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah. Where were all these other people? Are you a local family? Where is everybody?
Yeah, we were, Georgetown and Waterloo. So, a whole bunch of family members got sick before Christmas, and then, you know, the weather was so rough over Christmas, and so in the end, it was, you know, just the two of us.
So what did you have for Christmas?
Well, one part of the family came back with a bit of turkey and stuff like that, so we had lots of vegetables, which was great, and it was all good.
So any Christmas traditions at your house, do you all like to open the presents the night before Christmas Eve, or do you like to open them on Christmas Day?
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up always opening Christmas presents before Christmas.
Yeah.
In the last number of years, always on Christmas Day.
Right, yeah. Any other traditions? You don't have like an all-family crokinole tournament or something, do you?
No, but that sounds good.
Yeah. I'll ask our other guest, Kevin, tell us about yourself. How many people sit around the Thomason family Christmas feast?
Great question. Like Henriette, our numbers were disrupted this year because of COVID, because of health, and because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't quite have the amount of leftovers that you must have had with 17 to 2, but we were four this year at the Christmas table.
Very nice. And how about it? Is it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day that everybody gets their presents to open?
Oh, they get one Christmas Eve, which is always a new pair of pajamas. So they get new jammies every Christmas Eve, and that's a tradition in my wife's family going back who knows how many generations. It might be a French family thing because it seems all of her family does it. And then Christmas morning, of course, is Santa, and then throughout the day, lots of Christmas presents.
I always like asking that question. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that a great tradition?
Yeah.
What about the Christmas stockings? Do you guys do that?
Oh, yes. Yep. So the stockings are hung by the fireplace with care, and then they're chock full on Christmas morning, and the kids usually have lots of fun. And my kids right now are 4 and 6, so they're kind of the perfect ages for Santa and Christmas, and there was no shortage of enthusiasm this year.
Good to hear. I understand I have the next song to bring up. Tell us about what this song is and maybe a little bit why you like it.
Yeah. This song's probably going to be a little bit of a different song for your show. It's a rap song.
Yep.
You probably don't play a lot of rap, but this is a fun little ditty called the Ontario's Green Belt. And you'll recognize a lot of the sounds in here as very Canadian type sounds or pieces of soundtracks or clips or portions. It's short. It's only a minute long. It's by The Full Story. And I'll play it for you now.
All right. Go ahead. Thanks.
For more information, contact greenbelt.ca. Trails, farms, wetlands, we got it all. Protecting habitats and combating urban sprawl. The Greenbelt contains of the Niagara Escarpment, the Oak Ridge Moraine.
I like the foresight of Premier Davis, causing eutrophication, one little legislation. The lines of the pasture guys, drink the cider unpasteurized. See the creek down here based by its size, this thing's bigger than PPI. So much to see, so many ways to plant. Cancel that flight, you're
Doug Ford is forcing unsustainable urban sprawl on municipalities. He's even potentially putting at risk our visionary countryside line concept pioneered here in Waterloo Region. Other changes Ford has just pushed through reduce public consultation and muzzle the Grand River Conservation Authority that we need to protect our watershed. Tell your MPP we already have the sustainable official plan we need for the future at holdthelinewr.org. Brought to you by the Small Change Fund.
And we're back, and thanks so much, folks, for listening in today. It is Community Connections here at CKMS. It is our effort at Community Connection, and that is we want to promote and talk about local groups, musicians, and the like. And today, guests are from our local anti-bill. They want to change Bill 23. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll do that. Don't want to forget to just want to say a big shout-out to listeners over at CFRU over in Guelph. By gosh, we're all part of the same family. We're all members of the Community and Campus Radio Association of Canada, and our mandate as a group is local news by local people with local issues. And so welcome aboard from all those listening to CFRU, and thanks so much to our listeners at CKMS. You could be doing a lot of things on a Friday afternoon, and you're here with us. Thank you so much. Kevin, that's a great song. Who are those two young guys singing that one?
Yeah, they're just a Toronto group, a bunch of young folks in the city who felt they needed to speak up about the Greenbelt. Mm-hmm. They recorded that one about a year and a half ago or so, but it's perhaps more relevant today with all the attacks on the Greenbelt than it was even a year ago when we thought the Greenbelt was permanently protected.
I wonder if they're still doing their thing or not.
I think so. I think so. And it's been interesting actually to see some of the schools in Toronto organizing student protests and walkouts and things like that.
Yes.
Of course, a lot of what the Ford government has tried to do is being rammed through just before the holidays or leading up to the holidays. Schools finished a little bit earlier than that. Mm-hmm. But we'll see come the new year just what happens on these campuses and schools. That there's a lot of concern amongst the youth about climate change, the future we've seen from Greta on down, the impact they can have globally.
We have so much to talk about today, folks. I almost regret stopping now, but we'll do one more thing with our guests before we get into all the topics, and that is, listen, I want to ask these guys, so what do you do? So what the heck? How did you end up here on a Friday afternoon talking about the Greenbelt and so on? Henriette, tell us about yourself. How did you end up here on a Friday afternoon? Tell us about yourself.
Okay. I started out in radio, it feels like in an earlier life, and worked in radio for 6 years, loved it.
Yes.
Worked in northern BC, and great to sort of get out of Ontario, actually, and see another part of the country. But then most of my working life really has been program management. I've worked in international development for 13 years. Then I worked in academic administration and then back into program management and working a lot with the churches and faith communities. That's been my main area of work, mm-hmm. around social justice, economic and ecological justice issues. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so having an invitation to speak with you and to speak with all of those who are listening on community radio today is a wonderful opportunity, because I know I'm speaking to people who probably feel and think the same way in a lot of ways, right? And also who bring many different gifts to the table when it comes to working for a fair society and mm-hmm. an equitable one. Yeah.
Yeah, people want to know what's going on in their home community. We can talk about larger mega issues, but what's happening right here in good old KW or in the city of Guelph? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so in Waterloo Region, then I'm working with faith communities that have come together to work on issues of what we call climate justice. And so we began just before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of COVID sort of threw a spanner in the works for us. But we quickly regrouped online, even though we hadn't really had a chance to form and get to know each other as a group, but we got to know each other online first. We had open dialogues, as we called them. And then we gradually started kind of shape a vision for our work together and got to learn what the different faith communities, not just the Christian ones, but mm-hmm. also right. the Hindu, the Jewish, the Buddhist communities in our in our area were doing and were concerned about. So we had some really rich conversations. And then we started doing things. There was a banner called Act Now with beautiful artwork. Perhaps you've seen it around the region. It's Act Now, Faith Climate Justice. It's on the sides of a lot of faith community buildings, from the Hindu temple on Bridge Street to churches in downtown Kitchener and so forth and other places. There was a letter writing group that emerged because we said, you know, letter writing's a critical piece of work. And who wants to do that? Well, nobody wanted to say, oh yeah, you know, I'll organize all of that. But we had this team that really started to emerge, and people started to find their way inside this team. And then they got an op-ed published around Bill 23 in late November. The Record said, yes, send us an op-ed and we'll run it. And they did. They made a few, tweaked it a little bit and got it published. And so it ran twice, which was great. We have a monthly e-newsletter that goes out to over 100 members of the network. We get invitations to preach and speak in churches and other places of worship. We have been doing Transform WR workshops and webinars, so it's been all online. But basically, we recognize that we have a climate action plan and strategy for the region that has had a lot of public consultation. And so this really is the blueprint, and it continues to be. And so we need to do some literacy training among our people to say, okay, do you know what's in the plan, right? And then how do we support our municipal councils in implementing the plan? And we also show up at a lot of public events, at climate strikes, at Bill 23 rallies, street corner rallies, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
And besides this, you have time for some hobbies and other interests.
Oh, hobbies and other interests.
I you and I had a discussion. I think music is part of that. Would I be mistaken?
Yeah, yeah. But I love music. Yeah. I sing in a choir, and I have a musical family. Everybody plays an instrument, and I'm married to a retired music teacher. So, music is a big part of our lives, for sure.
Oh, that's a good story. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's play another song, and then we'll get back and talk. Kevin asked him the same question before we get into more of our show here. Who's the next song, and who is this one put up by? Is this yours, Henriette?
10,000 Maniacs.
10,000
Maniacs.
10,000 Maniacs?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to tell you, this song came to me really recently, as recent as this morning, because Natalie Merchant sings this beautiful song called Like the Weather. And it was after an interview on CBC about climate and weather. And it made me think, you know, it's very kind of atmospheric in its mood. And it made me realize that, you know, I think we have to deal with, and we have to acknowledge that there's this widespread eco-anxiety. And so part of our jobs as people working at the local grassroots level is to recognize that this eco-anxiety affects certain members of our communities, and maybe some ages more than others, and that we need to be really in tune with that, and we need to find ways to help each other through that anxiety about the future.
That's 10,000 Maniacs says this.
Yeah.
Okay.
10,000 Maniacs.
Let's play it, folks. Stay locked in here at Community Connection, CKMS 102.7.
My bones just thinking.
The Ford government is bad news for Waterloo Region. Doug Ford is threatening to override our sustainable regional official plan, potentially forcing thousands of acres of expensive urban sprawl. His housing scheme will destroy our local farms, be unaffordable to most, and will significantly increase our taxes to subsidize developers. Tell your MPP we already have the sustainable official plan we need to build more affordable homes and apartments at holdthelinewr.org. Brought to you by the Small Change Fund.
All right, we're back, and thanks so much. Today's guests are Kevin Tomasson and Henriette Thompson, and we're just delighted to talk about all things Greenbelt and the like, and we're going to get to that, but we first of all want to finish off getting to know our guests a little bit more, and I'm going to ask Kevin, tell us, how in the heck did you end up here in our studios at the old Beamer Box Factory, downtown Kitchener-Waterloo, on a Friday afternoon in the holidays?
Great question.
Is that enough? Of, go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder that myself, actually. It's a really good question. No. My background, I'm actually a bit of a tech geek. I founded my first company at age 13 and have worked in worked at Apple Computer at a young age and in technology consulting. And it is a bit of a fluke that I've always had an interest in the outdoors and very involved in Boy Scouts. When I moved to Waterloo, I got a chance to live out in the wilderness, and that's what put me out on the Waterloo Moraine. And I was lucky out on the moraine to see more wildlife here than I see at my cottage 5 hours north of here. Mm. And that was just when RIM was booming and the town was really growing. And suddenly I was watching wetlands being bulldozed and forests being clear cut. And I thought, well, no, this is just a little patch of wilderness we have down here. How do we protect it? How do we stop that what's happening? Right. And that's what indeed got me involved in that point was when the provincial greenbelt. This was the early 2000s. Premier McGuinty knew he needed to do something to better control the growth in the GTA area and achieve a better balance. And that's when the idea of this provincial greenbelt came out. And we thought, well, let's see if we can get included in it in this area.
Yeah, I have a long history doing this, Kevin. I've known you for a few years, and you've always been very busy on all kinds of really cool and important things like this now.
Well, we're lucky. There's been a lot of really neat initiatives. It's unfortunate we weren't included in the provincial greenbelt back in 2005, despite my pleas at Queen's Park and Ceilings appearances before the standing committees and others. But in the end, we created our own local protections. When the province wouldn't protect us, we came up with our ESLs, which are environmentally sensitive landscapes, our countryside line, and our protected countryside designations, which formed our own rural protections that were actually better than the greenbelt, because we were able to learn at that point, this was a couple years after, what worked and what didn't work. And we were able to have a little bit more science behind it and plug some of the holes that they had left and in the end created our very strong local protections. And that then led to even stranger things of finding myself in the middle of Europe building a 15,000 kilometer greenbelt across Europe. What used to be the former Iron Curtain has been transformed into a greenbelt running from Finland all the way to Bulgaria, 26 different nations, and there'd be times I would be the only native English speaker in the room as we tried to figure out how you got all these countries to work together on these broad environmental initiatives.
I'm glad you brought up that stuff, especially about our local made in Waterloo. Hey,
very much.
You know, if the province won't do it, we're going to do it ourselves, and that's a big issue. That's part of the reason why we're here today talking about this stuff, because we care and we want to talk about local stuff.
Very much, and of course, the ironic situation we have now is when the province is coming to override and undo what we've done locally. Not only with its Bill 23 decimating the green belt by 15 different takeouts and very large takeouts like the Dufferin's Rouge and other things like that, but we also see them coming for our protections here. And we see simultaneous efforts provincially, be it the regional official plan, the regional review that's underway, Bill 39, the Conservation Authority Act. There's so many things happening simultaneously that are undermining these protections that our community relies on and that I think, frankly, most people think are still in place, and yet they don't realize there's no one at the GRCA working on that anymore. Yeah. Though that person at the region just left last week. And, there's... I think going to be a lot of shock and surprise in the future when somebody says, well, how could nobody protect that wetland with all those endangered species in it? Or who just clear-cut that forest in this day and age when our federal government and the rest of the world is agreeing to double and triple protected areas? 30% of the world was just approved in Montreal at COP27. So we see our provincial government going in such polar opposite directions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so astounding and concerning. And this is where we see just so many community groups and organizations. It doesn't matter whether it's urban, rural, agricultural, old, young, whoever, all expressing such concerns about the direction of the provincial government here.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got lots to talk about in our next segment, too. We want to follow up on all those things. Before I forget, do you have time for some hobbies and interests in the middle of all this? What are you doing? What else are you doing besides hanging around here talking about stuff like this?
Well, ironically, a great hobby is going for a walk in the woods and spending a lot of time. I'm lucky with my two young kids. We're determined to raise wild children, so they spend most of their time outside and very little time in front of screens. So we spend a lot of time in the woods and the swamps and creeks and wetlands and water and anywhere else they can have fun.
This is working out really well, then. That's a good deal.
So, yes. Well, as long as we still have these areas for them. That's the concern, is if we pave it all over, we're not going to have that.
Oh, you're a busy man, especially raising a young family. I guess I'd love to ask people about hobbies when they have a young family. my brother had made me laugh. He says, his kids, that was their hobby. Him and his wife, that was their hobby, raising his kids.
Just raising him, feeding.
Right. Well, this is good. Okay, so let's play another song here, and we'll come back and start talking about more about specific issues. I don't know if you've all been noticing, but we've been playing after each song selection. One of the many ads that's been put together that you'll hear on local media, local stations here, somewhat of Toronto, but local media has been covering some of these ads that were produced. So we'll come back to all of that. But first things first, what do we got for the next song, and who is this one?
All right. This next one is Sarah Harmer, and it's her Escarpment Blues song, which, then again, great local content. Everyone in this area is familiar with the cliffs as you drive past Milton, and we know that's just a fraction of the escarpment that runs for hundreds of kilometers across our province.
Okay.
If they blow a hole in my backyard, everyone is gonna run away. Creeks won't flow to the great lake below. Will the water in the well still be okay? If they blow a hole in the backbone, the one that runs across the muscles of the land, well, we might get a load of stone for the road, but I don't know how much longer we can stand.
Truth
Okay, we are back, and it's your host, Jeff Sager. Today's guests are Kevin Thomason and Henriette Thompson. We're talking about Bill 23 at some point. And before I forget, though, anybody you guys see that girl in concert for Sarah Hammer? You've seen her? Where'd you see her in concert?
Yeah, I've seen her a number of times in concert, which is great because she's just so approachable and brings such a down-to-earth approach and perspective to everything. But, you know, I think that particularly in this area, we can relate to so many of her songs and so many of the things that she's so passionate about. You even look at the work she's doing right now by literally herself heading up the aggregate reform community groups that are fighting so hard for better gravel pit regulations and a moratorium on gravel pits and aggregates right now. And until they can get those better regulations in place. She's really a person who walks the mile.
Henriette, have you seen her in concert? Or what do you like the way of artists and music? I know we know you're hooked up with it, but I'll ask you this way quickly. Is that, do you like going to the corner bar with a guy and playing his guitar, or do you like the big, like, Molson amphitheater type things? So where's your music at these?
I think the corner bar, probably, because okay, that's where my partner plays.
Okay.
But Sarah Harmer, I have not, unfortunately, seen her in concert, and I can't remember the name of the album that she produced, but there was one album that I used to play all the time on my commute to work, and I think I wore the grooves really thin into, metaphorically speaking, into that album, and She's a great songsmith, and she's got a beautiful voice, and I love listening to her.
Okay, we're into the heart of our show today, which is talking about the Stop Bill 23. And just to help get our conversation going, I'm going to play the fifth of five radio ads that were produced, and I'll ask our guests to make comment on them. So just hang on. It's 31 seconds, folks, and we'll come back and pick our great guest brains about what this means and what the message is. Here we go.
Doug Ford is bad news for Waterloo Region. Despite our unique global success and thriving economy, he just destroyed our recently adopted regional official plan. He is overriding our regional planning to pave over precious farmland and force unsustainable urban sprawl throughout the Waterloo Region, all of which threatens our local groundwater supply. Tell your MPP we already have a better and sustainable community plan at HoldTheLineWR.org, brought to you by the Small Change Fund.
So if you've been noticing, folks, but we've been playing these ads after of the five ads after each segment of each song in our show so far, and I guess been kind of taking some notes there, and I'd like to invite you all just to make some comment about what was attempted to be said there. You know, you all appreciate 30 seconds is a hard time to get across a complex topic. They did a great job. You guys, do you want to take a few more minutes to those things? I'd be just delighted. Henriette, do you want to start with us, please?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. I do appreciate the variety of ads that are running right now. I think this ad speaks to me in three powerful ways. The first is that there are real-world effects of political decisions. And these real-world effects, we know that there's been a housing shortage in Waterloo Region for quite a number of years, and that's an area I've been deeply involved in and experience in my own family with my adult children. So these real-world effects are becoming even more dire. The second thing is that the real-world effects are not just affecting people, but they're affecting creatures, right? They're affecting whole ecosystems. They're affecting the fish in the Grand River and in Critter Creek near my house. They're they're affecting the salamanders and the bird, the whole of creation. And so Indigenous people have really, I think one of their key messages has been how interconnected we all are. And I think that's one of the effects that we're finding from Bill 23 is that it's undoing the good work that has been done to sort of help us to see how interconnected we really are. But in effect, this bill is dashing that apart. And then the third thing that's really important to me about this ad is the fact that it's undermining trust. And I'm a student of political science, and I've done a lot of work in that area in political theory. And what happens in a democracy when you undermine trust is that the fabric of society comes apart. If we can't trust each other and take each other at our word, and when Doug Ford promised that he wouldn't touch the green belt, but then suddenly he's taking a sledgehammer to it, then we run the risk of becoming cynical. And cynicism is a really corrosive thing to have happen in a society. So I think the struggle is not only to protect humans and all of the creatures around us and the ecosystems, but also to really, really work hard to build the bonds of trust so that we can take each other at our word and that we are held account, or we hold each other accountable when we break our word. Mm. I think that that's essential to a functioning democracy, and I see that that's at risk.
Yeah. Wow. Really well said, Henriette. And, you know, I think one of the impressive things with those ads is there's been more than 41 different individuals and community groups come together to provide the funding for them. It's not cheap to produce these things, to get them on the air, to buy airtime on. They're airing on dozens of different stations across Ontario.
You've been reading my mind. At some point, let's talk about the wider picture, the other groups that are involved, so our listeners know what's going on, first-time listeners.
Indeed. And you know, I think Henriette articulated those core concerns and why so many people are so concerned and such a diversity. We're seeing groups and teams of people coming together that have never worked together before, you know, who are often actually opposing one another, suddenly now working together arm in arm. And, you know, I look at even just that last ad that you ran there, which was specific to the region of Waterloo and our regional official plan. Mm. And, you know, this is the regional official plans are documents that most citizens will never read in their lifetime. But for the last 40 years, our regional plans have been bold, visionary documents that have set the tone and course for our entire region. Often they have included really unique pioneering things that haven't been done before. The Blue Box Recycling Program, LRTs, ESPA areas or country sidelines, concept that you know, few have ever tried and we've rolled out here. And when you look in Waterloo Region and just look at our skyline, well, you see cranes everywhere. You see LRTs, you see reurbanization and core renewal. You see things that most other towns in Ontario aren't grappling with. You know, Cornwall, Chatham, Kingston, Windsor, you know, we look considerably different and are grappling with very different issues of, you know, how do we provide enough water to one of the most rapidly growing communities in North America? How do we deal with the Googles and insurance companies and leading automotive manufacturers and everyone who's beating a path to our door? These are incredible success legacies that we've created over the last couple of decades simply because we've done planning better than most others. And this is what's dangerous here now, is we're now seeing the provincial government coming in and canceling that planning. These official plans, this bold visionary official plan that we spent the last 3 years working on, thousands of citizens and businesses and individuals and groups throughout our community worked on this regional official plan. It was unanimously passed by every one of our local municipal councils. It doesn't matter whether it's our four rural townships or three urban cities. They all passed it with really strong unanimous support. And now we have the province coming in and completely throwing it out the window, overriding it. And that's a challenge because it's going in a very different direction than what we've been going in recent years. And if we see, for example, Hamilton and Halton that decided to this time follow more in Waterloo's footsteps. Hamilton's putting in an LRT. They're focused on core renewal. They decided to have 0 acres of urban sprawl. No more loss of farmland. We're going to grow sustainably within our own boundaries. And the province has just overrode that and said, not only are you going to pave over every acre of farmland you have, you're going to pave over so much we're going to take 1,400 acres out of the green belt and pave over that too. And they're just dumbfounded because they said, we don't need this. We were accommodating tens of thousands of new homes within our existing footprint. We're accommodating hundreds of thousands of people by building up instead of out, which we know with climate change, we've got to change our ways. The future's got to be different than the past. This is the way the rest of the world's going. And this is what's really concerning about what's happening and hence what's driving that ad we just heard a couple minutes ago.
And each of the ads has a nice story in behind, well-done ads. And I know you all had a big part to do with that because the language had to be proposed and perused and then refined again. And good work on you guys' part for doing that. The language is good on those ads.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And I really want to acknowledge the role of the Small Change Fund in the crowdsourcing for the ads. As Kevin mentioned, ads, radio ads are not inexpensive, and the production involved and so forth. So the Small Change Fund, to my mind, is ingenious. And I only really learned about it recently, and I'm just bowled over by how what a great idea it is and how it enables groups like ours to be able to communicate broadly and deeply about these really important matters and reach people.
Indeed. And then again, well said, Henriette, because we're so lucky to live in a community where we have, I'll call it, some of this basic infrastructure of some of these groups and resources in place. And look at just this conversation together. We've got myself, represent a lot of the environmental groups, coming together with Henriette from all these faith-based groups, combined with yourself, Jeff, on the agricultural side. These are not paths that often cross, and yet we see all of our groups and all of the people behind each of us working collaboratively on these challenges, building a better community.
If you ever run a hockey team, you wonder, how would you ever meet these people? But you're all there because of hockey. So we're all here on a team. And, you know, meet all kinds of interesting people that, you know, I'd never have a chance to meet all these people if it hadn't been brought together by one cause like that. So it's kind of cool.
Well, it's exciting for sure. And you know, I think this is something where the entire community needs to be involved or engaged. And there's opportunities for everyone. You know, I've talked just a few minutes about a regional official plan. There is an official comment period. The Environmental Registry of Ontario, the ERO, is a website that you can Google that we have until the 4th of January at 11:59 p.m. to submit comments to the government on, do we support this plan that our community has come up with? Or do we have concerns? How do we improve it or whatever? But you know, if we look at these ERO comments, for example, some of the Greenbelt ones that just closed in the last few days, we're getting not just thousands of comments, not just tens of thousands of comments, but 30,000 comments on the Greenbelt one, 27,000 comments on some of the places Grow Act and other changes that have been the Greenbelt takeouts. It is just phenomenal to see so many people across the province speaking up and almost unanimously opposing what the government is trying to do here. The feeling is this is being done to benefit just a handful of developers at the expense of the greater public good.
And if I could add, I'm really, really pleased to see that Indigenous leaders also, both from Six Nations and from the Mississaugas of the Credit, are publicly saying, you know, the province has not exercised its duty to consult with First Nations. And this after-the-fact business that the province is doing, you know, it's backtracking, is just unconscionable. It's like, how is that possible? Yeah. We've just had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We've just had the endorsement of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And it seems almost inconceivable that suddenly governments feel that they can trample over First Peoples' right to their lands and the duty to consult. We're talking about meaningful consultation, and none of that has happened. And so this, again, is another space in which the environmental movement and the resistance to Bill 23 allows us to, it creates space for us in which to work together. And I think to begin to see how deeply connected we are around this work.
Well, for sure. And you see, even just with the number of local rallies or pop-up protests or gatherings that are being held, and it's been quite disturbing, actually, the lack of response. You're holding a protest in front of an empty office in which they've been told not even to come to work today. And that's not, I don't think, the democratic government that Canadians expect. Mm-hmm. We expect our elected representatives to be there, to hear us out, to understand our concerns, not to shutter the doors, lock the windows, and not even show up. It's been absolutely astounding, the lengths that some of our elected officials have been going to hide from the public. And I don't think this is the government that Canadians want, or this style of democracy. I think then again, that's one of the things driving things is we need to have a better future.
I agree. Let's play another song right now, and then we'll come back, and I'm going to affectionately pre-name the next section as, you know, questions I wish the host would have asked, but the dumb guy didn't, or other issues arising. What's this next song here? What have we got queued up here?
It's from Henriette, and it's What a Wonderful World.
Henriette, what's the story here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to actually pay tribute to another friend of ours, Tanya, who came up with What a Wonderful World. And this song by Louis Armstrong, if you watch the video online, you'll see that he's smiling the whole time he's singing it. And, you know, hope is one of these things that sometimes appears elusive when we're in the middle of a lot of struggle. And we know that we receive inspiration from people who have experienced struggle in their entire histories, and but who are able to hold up a vision of hope that is, in a sense, attainable, that somehow helps us to see outside of the present moment and to recognize that there is another world possible. And so this song, I will say no more other than it's just wonderful. Please listen to it.
Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Doug Ford has just used his majority to force Bill 23 into law, despite serious concerns from thousands of citizens and municipal leaders in Ontario. In Waterloo Region, this will destroy our new visionary regional official plan with innovative planning to develop complete communities, new transit, and essential farmland and water protections. Tell your MPP to repeal Bill 23 at holdthelinewr.org. Brought to you by the Small Change Fund.
We are back, and thanks so much, folks. We're going to do a bit of lightning round here, and I'll ask my guests. Hey, you guys, is there one last message you want to bring to our listeners? Please go ahead and do that. You want to go first, Kevin?
Yeah, sure. And I guess the message I have is not necessarily all doom and gloom. I think we've actually, when you look at the past year, seen so many positive things. You know, I just was in Kenya a few weeks ago. They've committed, the president there, to plant 1 billion trees in the next 30 years. We see in Brazil, where Lula's back in power and promising to restore the rainforest, and just yesterday appointed 2 prominent environmental activists as the minister of the environment. And so, you know, there are positive things. We saw Biden approve the largest climate change plan that, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars of funding for alternative energy and electric vehicles and all kinds of things. So there's so many positive things happening out there and around there. It just really makes me shake our head and wonder how we're going so much in the opposite direction of the rest of the world and opposite to what we all know we need to be doing.
Yeah, and I'd like to give tribute to the young environmental leaders who are leading us. And I think of the indigenous leaders who are the water defenders and the land defenders, often young, and the Greta Thunbergs, of course, but also the land defenders from East Africa who have appeared at COP27. And all of the wonderful partners from Kairos, an organization I belong to, who attended COP27 and spoke powerfully at that event, as well as at the biodiversity event in Montreal just more recently. I would really like to end by strongly encouraging anyone who perhaps has been hesitating and thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll write my MPP next week, or maybe I'll call my MPP next week, or maybe I'll write a letter to the editor in a few days. Do it now. Mm-hmm. And as Kevin mentioned earlier, the environmental registry option, send your comments in now and don't wait. Take action, and if it helps for you to imagine someone who would benefit by your actions instead of your hesitation, let that help you. In my case, mm-hmm. I have three young granddaughters under the age of 7, and so I think about the kind of world that I would like them to inhabit, and so I get off my butt and I take action. I only have to look in their eyes and I know what my job is. So I really encourage you to use your imagination. Use your resolve, contact, reach out, learn, and get involved. Don't delay.
Good stuff. Let's play a bit of the next song. We'll do about a minute of the song because we do our last outie out in the show. Bruce Coburn, If a Tree Falls. Go ahead, Kevin, play that song.
All right, there it is.
Center for the world, ancient court coexistence hacked by parasitic greedhead scam. From Sarawak to Amazonas, Costa Rica to mangy BC hills, cortege rhythm of falling timber. What kind of currency grows in these new deserts, these brand new floodplains?
Back, and thanks so much. What a great song. Quick little bit on the, before we, our guests run away on us, Henriette, what are you doing next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to do more, submit more comments to the ERO, definitely. And I'm going to spend the remainder of the week and heading into New Year's with family and friends and cherish the relationships and probably go out for a walk along the Grand River before it gets all snowy and icy again and enjoy and watch for birds and winter life.
Yes. And stay busy with the Bill 23 bunch.
Yes.
Kevin, how about yourself? Two hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months?
Yeah, that's easy. We only have till midnight tonight to respond to the ERO on the growth plan and a number of the, I guess there's four acts in total that 11:59 p.m. tonight is their deadline. Yeah. 2 days, of course, is the deadline before January 4th on the Waterloo Regional Official Plan, as well as the County of Wellington Official Plan, City of Belleville, a whole bunch of them. That's midnight on January the 4th, so trying to get something in by those. And then 2 weeks, we have all kinds of newly elected officials in Waterloo Region at the municipal level, new mayors, new councillors, and that sort of thing. So I'll be meeting with a number of them over the weeks ahead as they get increasingly ramped up into their jobs and roles and ensuring they're moving in the right directions.
Lovely. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for coming in. Your ad to our content here at CKMS 102.7, our Community Connections show, and friends at CFRU, thanks for listening in. Just thanks again for coming out today, and we'll look forward to doing this again. And folks, come back in another 6 days and 23 hours for another ish. Not even that long. We go every Monday and Friday. Oh, my gosh. So come back Monday. They'll probably be replaying this one. So, all right. Thanks again.
Thanks so much for having us.
All right. And with that, folks, take it back to regular programming. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year. Bye for now.
This has been CKMS Community Connections, and my name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo and produced for CKMS FM Radio Waterloo in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. We're a community radio station with programming produced by the community, for the community, and about the community. You can read the show notes at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, read the music lists, hear the past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast. Our executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jeff Stager, Dylan Bravener, and Steve Todd, who also wrote and performed our opening theme music. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon, and also on Fridays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.